Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
Nope, but we're two friends who like to talk about serums.
We are. Kate, how's it going?
Dori and listeners, I have a cold. I sound like I have a cold and I feel like I have a cold. But it's okay because that's all I have.
Yes.
Trying to reframe it, Dori.
And you look cozy.
I'm in sweatpants. I'm in a sweatshirt and my sleeping bag slippers that I bought on Amazon. So I'm drinking bone broth and lemon water and just trying to hydrate and get this thing to go away. But I'm a little out of it. You know when you have a cold and you take a lot of cold medicine and then you're like not sure if you're on the planet?
Yeah, I do.
So am I recording this podcast or am I in space?
TBD.
We'll find out by the end of the show.
Indeed.
Today's also the anniversary of my mom's death, but I'm okay.
Okay.
But you very kindly brought me flowers, and Lane, who assists us, brought me treats.
Oh, you're just so nice.
You're so nice. So shout out to friends who do nice things on weird days. Another friend sent me a letter, a nice note, and on it she wrote, you know, do not open until this date. Yeah. So I was very touched. And we get a lot of questions about, like, how do I show up for a friend who's grieving? And I think just showing up.
Just show up.
Little notes of care is really special, I think. So thank you, friends.
You are so welcome.
And the flowers you brought are gorge.
Oh, thanks. Can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
I got them at Target.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hello, Target flower department.
No.
They're stunning. They look like you like picked them on a wildflower farm.
Well, I saw them and I was like, these look like I picked them on a wildflower farm. But they're like locally grown. Like Target has a deal with a local flower farm.
Sure, that's what they're called.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I know. What else is happening with you?
Well, Dori, I, as many listeners are aware, have been really struggling with my place in diet culture and my own disordered eating issues and my self-image. And I had a great session with my therapist.
Oh, good.
Who is just the best. And I'm really enjoying reading intuitive eating. And I have set up a consultation with a nutritionist who focuses on mindful eating and health at any size.
Cool.
So who knows if I'll pursue that, but I just wanted to take that step and see what that would be about.
Amazing.
So I am, and also I've been cooking a couple of things just like honoring the idea of like eating things that make me feel good that I want. So I made this baked oatmeal that I love. I made a really lovely bean masala last night.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I can link to both of those recipes. And you know what else, Dori?
What?
I wore a red lip from Hourglass.
I saw it.
I had never worn it. I pulled it out of my makeup, you know, little container thinking it was an eyeliner. And then I was like, oh, it's a red lip. I'll put this on.
Mm-hmm. And we should say they sent it to us. They are sponsors of the show.
Yes. This was a freebie. Thank you for clarifying.
Oh, you are so welcome.
But I had never worn it, and I'm always very timid when it comes to red lips, and I was also wearing a red shirt. I was unsure. I posed the question to our Instagram, can I wear a red shirt and a red lip? Everybody said yes.
You look great.
I loved this lip color.
You look great.
I loved it. Again, we'll link to it on our website.
It worked for you.
It was a great red, and it, I don't totally know the right terms, but I think the word I'm looking for is very pigmented. So it stayed on. It wasn't like it had a very lasting power, but it was not drying.
That is unusual.
I'm definitely going to wear this color again.
I look forward to seeing it on you.
Maybe I should just show up to a next recording in a red lip.
Please do.
You were in New York.
I was.
How was it traveling pregnant?
You know, it was okay, but I had a doctor's appointment the day before I left, and my doctor told me that my amniotic fluid was low.
Scary.
And she was like, well, there's two reasons why it could be low. Either you're dehydrated or your placenta stopped working.
Oh, cool.
I was like, okay. So she was like, just, you know, hydrate a lot and then I'll see you back in 2 days. And I was like, well, about that, I'm going to New York.
Was she like, what?
Well, I was like, if you tell me I shouldn't go, I won't go. And she was like, well, just, you know, if you don't feel him moving for a while, I would ask you to go see a doctor in New York. I was like, okay. But she was like, but hydrate like it's your job.
So how many gallons of water have you been drinking a day?
I feel like I have had an IV of liquid.
Are you peeing nonstop?
I'm peeing nonstop. Thank God I had booked myself into aisle seats.
Oh, that is tough when you're not and you're peeing.
I mean, it was like, and also, you know, I would be out and about in New York and it would be like, oh no, I have to pee every like minimum every 45 minutes. But like, I really feel better every like 30 minutes.
And there's not just great public restrooms all over New York City.
No, although I have gotten very good about knowing where the public restrooms are. Like department stores always have them.
Oh, that's a good one.
So yeah. So I hydrated like mad. And then today I saw my doctor again and everything was great.
Look at you. Cause you should hydrate flying when you're not pregnant.
Totally.
Like you get dehydrated from that regardless.
Totally. I mean, the amount of water I was drinking was insane. And I should also say, right now I'm drinking water spiked with our sponsor Liquid IV.
Oh yeah.
Those electrolytes. So, you know, coming in handy again.
I give those to my kids when they are sick. They call it the special juice.
That sounds
a little crazy. So thank you.
But the trip was good. The thing I went for a panel. It was good. I saw my family. I saw my brother and my sister-in-law, my niece and nephew.
Always good.
Always good. I will say, like, you know, I don't know if I was just tired because I wasn't sleeping great because of jet lag. And also I'm 33 weeks pregnant, but like taking the subway and climbing all those stairs,
boring.
I was like winded. It felt like I was constantly winded.
Oh yeah. I was pregnant with my first child in New York and commuted from Brooklyn to Times Square.
Oh,
and I would get off at this 42nd Street stop on the F train. Some of you might know it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there are
right
just
by Bryant Park.
Uh-huh. There's so many stairs.
There are a lot of stairs.
I think there's also an elevator at that one. New York, the subway system is not particularly accessible in many locations, which is,
no.
Yeah, it's really shitty for numerous reasons. For
yeah.
And I just remember like it would be like a 15-minute stair climb.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm grateful that I'm an able-bodied person who is able to walk up those stairs.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh yeah, I'm feeling this.
Yeah. Get me to my car.
Get me back to my car. I did book myself two nights. I was there for four nights, two nights of which were paid for by the organization that brought me out there to do this panel. And then the other two nights I booked myself into like a nice hotel and I made sure I booked myself into a room with a bathtub.
Okay, go on.
And because I was like, you know, I just want to relax and take a bath. And I have to say, this bathtub exceeded my expectations.
What about it made it so special?
First of all, it's huge.
Very important.
It's like a massive bathtub. Second of all, it was by a window and I was on the ninth floor and I just had this like view, not like the most lovely view. It wasn't like I was looking out on like Central Park, but it was like, it was still like a nice city view. So that felt kind of like dramatic and exciting.
Yeah.
Also there in their like toiletries that they gave you bath salts and bubble bath.
They are doing it right.
So they had clearly thought about this, which I appreciated. So one night I took a bath with bath salts and the next night I took a bath with bubble bath.
Oh man, you double bathed.
I double bathed.
Nice work. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I wonder if we were bathing at the same time because I took a bath this past weekend. And I just poured so many Epsom salts and different salts into it. I had gone roller skating with a bunch of mom friends, and I was sore.
I guess.
I also took a bath. No view.
Well,
you know, we can't all have that, but it felt good. I have to say, I need to get in the tub more.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel good?
I feel that every time I get in the tub.
Right. I know. And then I get out and I forget the magic.
And then I was like, you know, if I ever get like have a lot of money, I will build a really nice bathtub in a bathroom and I will never leave it. It will be where I live.
Like almost a small pool, like a soaking pool,
like a soaking tub. Like a hot tub.
A hot tub, but in your bathroom.
But in my bathroom that I could just relax in.
Yeah, I'm going to also, in this fantasy world, say it's off limits to everyone else in the house.
Oh, totally.
Like, no one can even, you need like a code to get in.
Yeah, you need to know the password.
Uh-huh. The password is serums. Just like our Facebook group.
Totally.
On that note, Dory.
On that note, let's take a short break.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Our guest today is Natasha Rothwell.
Yay.
Welcome, Natasha.
Thanks for having me.
I'm just going to read a quick bio and then
We're going to get into it.
Oh, we are.
Awesome. Natasha Rothwell is a writer, actress, and producer, and a series regular and co-producer on Issa Rae's Peabody Award-winning HBO series, Insecure. She wrote and starred in Netflix Presents The Characters and has previously written for Saturday Night Live. In addition to being an ardent supporter of Planned Parenthood and Emily's List, Natasha resists this current administration by volunteering at the Downtown Women's Center and supporting the HRC, ACLU, SPLC, and RAIN. Natasha is also a staunch advocate for the arts and arts education and recently signed a deal to write, star, and produce her own show for HBO. She currently lives in Los Angeles.
That's all true.
And you're going to be in the next Wonder Woman movie.
That is true.
Which is, but I read that you've signed like 1,000 NDAs.
I did. And, but like, hand to God, if you blink, you might miss me in the film. I feel like people are just like, she's going to suit up.
It's you and Gal Gadot.
There's no leotards for me in this, that I can say. But
okay. It's a good scoop.
Yeah, but I'm excited to be a part of it. It's wild.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
That's exciting. You're a busy woman.
I'm busy, yeah. I'm Hollywood busy, where it's just like you're busy and then you also have time to hike, you know?
Yes.
But it's busy. It's like legit busy, but I try to balance it.
This is a very weird city that doesn't run on like the 8 to 6 work schedule.
No.
Like you can go out. We've talked about this, maybe not on the podcast, but like you can go out to breakfast and there's like a line on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah.
But then when you're working, you're like not home for months.
Yeah. So it's like my balance is not daily. It's almost like looking at the year. Like right now I'm on hiatus from Insecure. And so it's been a real like party where I get to like sleep till 7 a.m. where I'm just like, woo, instead of being on set or shooting. Yeah. So it's like just adjusting my schedule.
How does that work with being a writer and an actor on the show?
Well, the writer's room is about 22 weeks. And so towards the end of that is when it gets a little bit crazy because then I'll have, you know, appointments with the hair department and costume mm-hmm. fittings and all of that kind of stuff while the room's still going on. Mm-hmm. HBO and Insecure try their best to prevent the overlap, but with Issa being the star of the show and in both rooms, and then I'm being on the show as a series regular and being in the room, it can be a little tricky. It's much easier for me than it is for her, but luckily because she truly can only be in one place at one time. And if she's not, then it sort of like halts the work.
Right.
For me, the work keeps going. I just will try to play double judge and jump in when I can.
Do you write Kelly's character?
We all write everything. Okay. We do like, I was going to say they call it like gang writing, which is not like, I hate that word, but like we group write everything. Okay. So I don't just write her by myself.
when you are in that space of working on Insecure or any, I mean, I think when you're on set on a film, it can be that same kind of crazy hours. How do you carve in time for moments of self-care or just moments of like giving yourself calm or relaxation or a break? Or is it impossible?
Sometimes it feels impossible. I see other people like really exceed at it where I'm just like, how are they so like centered on set right now? I tend to do like my self-care before and after I'm like in a busy production like stretch, which just doesn't work for me, but I seem to have been doing it for a while. And so this year I'm taking a very sort of deliberate, different approach where I'm started meditating in the new year. I've been doing it. And so even on the busiest days, I find moments of quiet and breath and groundedness. And it's I called it, you know, this is my year of woo-woo. So I was just going to do the most woo-woo shit I could do. And I was like, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to like, you know, do it all. I went and saw an astrologer. Like I went all the way. And I was like, I don't know if this like meditation thing is going to work. And it's so good.
Wow.
I do it in traffic. Like when I'm just like, oh, this dude in front of me or behind me is like stressing me out with the way he's driving. I'm just like, breathe, like be present. And it's been transformative, truly.
What was the thing that pushed you toward meditation? Did someone suggest it? Was it just like you were like, I need something?
Towards the end of last year, my brother was in an accident. He's totally fine. But it was one of those things where I was just like, I need to get to it. Mm-hmm. The big it of just like my focus, my energy, being present. And I was feeling even last year was probably my busiest year professionally. And I was feeling like my mornings were happening to me and my evenings sort of like surprised me. And I didn't have control over the way my day started or ended just because of habits that I'd cultivated that were just unhealthy, from picking up my phone from the first thing in the morning and like sucking it dry by the end of the night. And I was just like, this is not – I don't want to have my days dictated by outside things, one. And so that was a big thing. And then my brother having gone through a little bit of a family scare, I was just like, you know, there's things that matter.
Yeah.
There's shit that just doesn't. And I was – the things that didn't matter were dictating a lot of my time. And I was just like, I need to figure out what matters to me. And to do that, I need to find the stillness and not the obvious things that matter to me, you know, the social justice and things like that. But all of that still is not me. You know, that's a lot of other people and compassion and caring for others. And I was like, I want to include myself when I'm thinking about compassion. And so that's sort of where it came from. And I was just like, this is the best time to start. It was the new year. And so got my woo-woo on.
So it sounds like it's helping you like just on a day-to-day basis, but is it also helping you kind of big picture-wise deal with just like the bullshit of Hollywood?
For sure. I think that like and it sounds maybe egotistical to say, but I really never felt affected by like the Hollywood of it, like capital H Hollywood of it. Mm-hmm. I've always tried to dictate my definition of success as being doing something that I love, doing it well, and do it with people that I respect. And that was like baseline. And that continues to be the case. But I think that what happens, or at least what I was feeling, is that I was just born with this innate desire to please people. And so it was less about me trying to meet an exterior standard for my own reasons. It was trying to make everyone happy, from agents to managers to like taking jobs that I didn't really want to do, because not because of who was involved. It was just like I wanted, you know, the in-between people to feel like heard and respected, and lost myself in that. And so I wouldn't say I was classically sort of like following the siren call of Hollywood to like my own detriment, but more so I was just spreading myself so thin that I was like, oh, this is not sustainable.
It's hard too when the spreading yourself thin is being met with success. Like, you know what I mean? Like that can be really confusing when you are spreading yourself thin, but you're doing quote unquote really well. And it's like, well, is this how this works? Like, is it like when if I pull back, am I going to remove the success from it? Like, you know, whatever the success is. That can be such a hard thing to wrap one's head around.
Yeah. Bad habits are constantly rewarded in this industry.
Yes.
And so it's been a real thing. One, breaking habits has been like a real focus for me. And just stepping back from whether or not it's successful or like being rewarded or not, like, is it working for me? Like, that's the questions. Those are the questions that I had to start asking myself. Especially like middle of last year when it was really sort of felt like a wonderfully beautiful avalanche of like good fortune of getting jobs and opportunities where I'm just like, this is great, but do I want it? This is great, but am I happy? And like constantly checking each event, each offer, each, you know, wonderful thing and asking myself that. And the hardest thing too is I think when those things happen, there's this cloak of silence of wanting to complain or express frustration with any of it because you seem ungrateful to other people. And I think I felt very alone because of that, because it was just like, oh, I'm having this sort of stretch of, you know, perceived success and, you know, literal success, but it's also very, very difficult and not having an avenue to express those reservations again for fear of disappointing people and for, you know, making people who are still on the hustle and grind feel like, you know, I'm invalidating their experience. And then that circles us back to meditation, where I was like, I really needed to just be with those feelings and validate those feelings and all of that, in a push toward authenticity.
So what is your actual meditation practice? Like, do you do it right when you wake up, or?
I don't usually do it immediately because I have a dog. And he kind of
got to talk about that dog.
We can talk about, and he was a self-care like acquisition as well,
which I love because he has such a personality. I mean, I only know him via your Instagram.
Oh, he is a full person. But he dictates my morning. I try, at least since I started around Christmas is when I started meditating, and have done so consistently through the new year. I don't have any social media input before I meditate. And so I try to not pick if I oh, and this also helped. I moved all of my social media apps to the back of my scroll page, like on, you know, your homepage, and I turned off all notifications. So I have no push notifications. I have no way of knowing that there are messages waiting for me or that the social media sphere wants my attention at all. So when I pick up my phone, I just look at the time, walk my dog, get breakfast, all this without like, and to include social media, it's texting and email.
You do none of that.
None of that before.
And I only ask because this is a constant struggle for me.
Yeah.
How did you stop that? Like, how did you resist it? Because it's so tantalizing. Or at least for me, I'm only speaking for myself. But
the thing that changed the game, I was listening to another podcast called Your Girlfriend, and they did their like year in best of advice for women. And there's this British journalist whose name escapes me. She was said the thing that changed her life the most was giving herself permission to cultivate an air of being in what's the word I'm looking for? Not dependable on email. So she was just like, now, before, if it came immediately, I had to answer immediately. And people would often respond to my emails, you answer that so quickly. You know, thank you for the quick turnaround. And none of that's necessary or required. So she gave herself permission to be a flake. And she's just like, I need to just open myself up to that and really try to cultivate that persona. So when people email me, they're not thinking, oh, I'm going to get an answer right away.
Yeah.
Two, she did what I did, move all of my social media apps to the end. And then even on my – what helps me is on my text messages and emails, I turn off notifications too. So I don't know there are messages waiting for me unless I check them.
That's great.
So it's – some days are better than others, like, you know.
Yeah.
So where some days I'm just like, oh, I need to – you know, out of habit, I'll just click it and I'll notice, okay, it's my mom and da-da-da-da. And I try not to like – even if I look at it, don't respond until after I've meditated.
Another former guest of this podcast, Mary H.K. Choi, I just saw her tweet that she had taken email off her phone entirely.
Wow.
Oh, see, that's a huge step.
Wow. Yeah. Like, you can do that?
Yeah.
You can do it. You know?
Deleted.
Yeah. I could. I don't think I can do that, but just turning off, I'm very self diagnosed OCD. And so if there's a red dot notification on my phone, I can't have it. I can't have any unread anything. And it just brings me anxiety. And so I just was like, change it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to have those, like, if the, you know, the little red dots or like the unread messages, like tally gives me anxiety, then I don't need to have those things. So I turn those off. And and I don't respond to every email. And I've gotten really excited about answering things on my own time, which is like very hard for my personality type.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things where I was like, oh, it makes me happy though, so maybe I could do it.
So you walk the dog, you get breakfast.
Walk the dog, get breakfast. I walk the dog.
Play by play morning experience.
Well, the thing about the walking the dog, he's a year and a half and he's got that pumpy energy. So he's not quiet unless he's like been walked, and I can't meditate until that.
And he is also a big dog.
I was lied to. So I went, I got him through a breeder, and I was desperate to like adopt and not shop, but I have very severe allergies and I needed like a doodle type dog. And so I went through a breeder, a beautiful breeder out in Alabama. They don't do puppy mills. They selectively breed. It's very humane. And when I got him, they're like, oh, he's going to be like small to medium, like max 30 pounds. He's 60 pounds.
Oh, my God.
He's huge. Like, we get stopped on the street constantly because he's like got all that standard poodle like in his bones. So he's long and tall and big. And he thinks he's the size of a chihuahua. So it's just very problematic walking him because, like, he wants to play, but he wants to play like he's that size. And he's just too big for it and gets so frustrated with me because he loves people. He loves kids. He loves, like, other dogs. And definitely changed my life for sure.
What was the self-care need when you decided to get a dog? What was going on that you were hoping it would help with?
I felt like we're gonna get real on this podcast.
Yeah,
guys.
Oh, it is.
I felt like I had a very deep reservoir of love, and I needed to give that. That's desperately. Beautiful. I really did. And I've never had a desire to have kids. I was a teacher for many years, so I felt like I had 137 kids at one point. But I wanted to care for something else outside of myself. I wanted to be responsible in a way that was consistent. And I've always loved dogs, and I knew I wanted a dog and not a child, but I got a puppy, and a puppy is a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went through maybe 6 months of the deepest depression of my life, where I was just like chasing around a sick furry bear in my one bedroom apartment who had all, like, you know, like when you were in high school and there's like the sick kid, like that's my dog. He gets sick all the time. So his first like 9 months, he was just like either puking or shitting or like sleep.
No.
And so I remember FaceTiming my mom when I had him, and I'm just crying, and she's just like, you know, your sister called me like this when she had Talia. And I'm just like, this is not my baby. She was like, you have a, like, you get used to it. And so it was a very weird 6 months where I, the thing I wanted hadn't arrived yet, but now he's a year and a half and now he's a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's been, the juice has been worth the squeeze because he is just like, I could cry right now. He's just like a very, consistent source of love and affection.
Are you able to bring him with you when you travel for work?
If he were 30 pounds. But I now would have to buy him his own plane seat. which I mean, if the job would pay for it, I would. But it's hard when I travel. It's made it more difficult for sure. But he's the most spoiled dog. So he's, you know, he's stays at like very nice places when I go away. And
yeah, he's doing great.
He's doing great. If I die, I want to come back as him for sure, because I give him everything.
And he's named after Lloyd Dobler.
Yes.
Is that, do you love Say Anything?
I love the 80s, and I love, I mean, I love that movie so much, but I was just like, what does his face look like? And so when I was adopting him, they sent like pictures of him, and I was like, he looks like a Lloyd or a Ducky. And I asked my niece, who's now 11, and I was just like, what do you think? Like, if I got a dog like Lloyd or Ducky, and she's 11, but she thinks she's like, you know, 18. She's like in that age. She's just like, why would you name a dog a duck, Aunt Tasha? And she gave me shade for days. Shade that, like, even now when I think about, like, her eyes when she just read me to filth, she was just like, why would you? That makes no. And I was like, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm going to name him Lloyd Dobler. She's like, okay. And, like, went back on her phone. I was like, yikes. All right.
Oh, boy.
Okay. But he's wonderful.
Yeah, we both have dogs. So.
What are your dog's name?
Oh my God,
my dog's name is Bo. Oh. He was a rescue, and that was his name. So we just kept it.
I
but he's it. 80 pounds.
Oh, okay,
he's a big boy.
That see, Lloyd would love to play with Bo.
Bo has some anxiety issues. Bo's on Prozac.
Bo's, oh, I love it. Oh, I love it.
How many milligrams of Prozac does he take?
60.
He takes more than me, Dory. I take 20 a day.
Oh, yeah. He takes a lot more than you. I mean, I think his issues might be deeper than yours.
Oh, my God.
You don't want to bite strangers.
No.
Nope, nope.
No. No.
I seek their acceptance.
Yeah, exactly.
Desperately. That's my problem. Yes. Yeah, that's why I'm on Prozac.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
But you also have an anxious dog.
I do my dog pees when she's nervous. I also have a rescue named Lucy, who my very serious older daughter decided to name after my dead dog. So oh, I wouldn't, boy. Quote, be sad anymore, even though I don't. I'm not sad.
No, no, no.
She died when I was 19. But that's where we're at. So I have a second Lucy.
You have a second Lucy.
And she is a very, I think she was probably abused in some way before we got her, because she's just like, she gets so scared when you go to put a leash on her. Yeah. And it's like, girl, you know, we're going for a walk where you get to like shit and piss outside. You love this experience. Yeah. But every time we get the leash out, she like can't decide if she's going to have like a panic attack or get excited. She's just kind of a heartbreaking little mess, but she's lovely. She's a great dog.
Oh,
she's really like, I had a migraine last year and I got in bed at like 8 o'clock at night, and our babysitter was very kind and stayed and helped with the kids. And the dog just got, she knew, like she got right in bed with me and just sat next to me.
They know.
I think I've mentioned this before. My cat sat next to me both times I went into labor with my kids, and she would just like perch.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They just have they get a vibe.
They know.
I don't know what what they're sensing.
Yeah.
Our smells.
Something.
B.O., I don't know.
I saw this tweet that destroyed me. It was just basically like, if you had like 5 seconds to say something to your pet, what would you say?
Oh, God, like they could understand?
Yeah. And the three things were, this is to help you, not hurt you.
Oh.
I'm coming back.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's okay. And I was just like, that's so real.
Oh, God. The I'm coming back is really hard with the
we're making Sammy cry.
Sammy, are you crying?
No!
Sammy loves dogs more than anyone.
Yes. And I read that and I was like, that's what, because it's the thing where you're just like, if you knew this, you'd chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm trying to give him his medicine. I'm like, it's okay. Like, this is going to help you, not hurt you. I'm leaving. I'm coming right back.
Right.
Like, and those things are, I just want a 5 second window where it's,
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Wait, can we go back to something you just said, that you were a teacher for a long time?
I was.
So how does one go from being a teacher of, what did you teach?
Well, a little bit of everything. So like, I went to school for theater proper. I was like, you know, did the classically Shakespeare type of actor degree, and was trying to find a way to like feed myself after college.
As one does.
As one does when you have a theater degree. And so I was doing a lot of like teaching artist gigs. And then that parlayed into like full-time teaching gigs when teaching artist wave and charter school waves overlapped. Because in charter schools, you can be a professional in your subject and you can get hired, where if it were a regular DOE school, you have to like have a teaching certification.
Okay.
But I did have to take like other teaching courses to like be in front of a classroom. And so I was at the Academy for Learning Through the Arts in DC when I was living there. Over 10 years ago at this point. And that was pre-K through sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
And so it was teaching theater to that age range. And then I left there and went back to gigging the teaching artist circuit. And then I went, when I was living in New York, I was at KIPP NYC College Prep High School for a full year. Or not a full year, 4 years, sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I was there. And it was a new charter school. And so the first year it was just freshmen, then the second year was freshman, sophomore, and it rolled up into 4 years, and that's when my freshmen were graduating. So I was like, I knew I wanted to stay for that.
So the whole time you were teaching, you were also doing comedy stuff?
Yeah, it was very like superhero-esque. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, I would be teaching from 7 a.m. to 3 or 4, and then I'd do UCB or The Pit or, you know, coach a group or audition. And then when it got to be the senior year of my freshmen, I knew it was not sustainable at that point because I had been in New York for 4 years at that time. And I felt a little bit like a hypocrite because I was like, hey, kids, go chase your dreams. Don't let them slip away. And then I was just like, I'm actually doing that right now. Like, and I love teaching. I still do to this day. But I knew that it was not, I was not being, you know, all of my dreams weren't being fully realized by staying there. And it was taking too much of my time. And so when they graduated, I kind of graduated too and jumped into acting and writing and all of that full time.
When you've gone through moments where the following of your dreams feels, you know, that moment where you're like, why the fuck did I do this? Oh, why did I think this was ever going to happen or ever a good idea? How have you stayed on track and stayed not grounded, but like stayed committed to following through on your passion and your love for what you do?
Yeah. I had a moment like that last night. It's like those moments don't stop. I think that's what people think.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, there's no like, well, I'm done with that. I know I'm doing the right thing. Like truly, last night I was staring at like a blinking cursor, knowing I have to do these edits. On the script, and I was like, oh man, can I do this? Like, have I made the biggest mistake? Like, you know, all of that. So the doubt, imposter syndrome, all of that. And I think I tried to deal with it in that, like, there, I don't know how else to couch it other than, like, I feel this very deep calling to be doing this work. Mm. And I think that most people who get on this path and stay on this path, they feel that too. Mm-hmm. They may not use those terms or like whatever. And it, again, woo woo 2019. But there's the deep sort of sense of needing to keep the right foot and left foot going in front of each other in the face of like complete uncertainty and even sort of obvious like U-turn signs. It's very difficult. And I think that for me too, a big sort of push is that it always made me happy. So I tried to like not necessarily focus on external validation or what other people considered success. Again, like I tried to always circle back to my true north, which was, does it make me happy? Am I working with people that I want to be working with? And is the work I'm doing making me happy? You know, like, and if those things are true, then I need to really sort of shut the windows and the doors and keep all of that negativity out and try to like stay focused on the work. And so sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. But I know that in those moments that has worked for me is to really sort of go back to why I'm doing it and who I'm doing it for, which is not other people or validation, which is really hard.
That is so hard.
So hard, especially as women.
Yeah.
Like, it's just real. It's just very, very real to like go into anything and doubt it. I'm going to a CVS and buy eyeliner. I'm like, am I good enough to do it? Can I do a cat eye? Like, am I worth? Can I do that? Yes, you can do that. Practice that cat liner. But it's just real. Yeah. It's just real.
You are active on Twitter.
I am.
You are active.
So, Natasha. what has that been like in this political moment?
It's been interesting. I feel like I've always been active, but now more people are listening. So that's what's changed. Mm-hmm. So like the audience got bigger just by the nature of what I do. And there was a point very early on where I was like, I could change my song or I could, you know, sing a little louder.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna try on this very inauthentic kind of shitty platform to just be as honest and consistent as possible. And so Trump just exacerbated what was already going on. So I was just like, I need to speak out as much as possible. And with humor and like with the dose of like understanding of self-care, like I can't just be screaming or I'll go hoarse, right? So I have to like say some things and then take care of me a little bit. So yeah, that's sort of like how I use it, is to have that kind of release to say the things that I need to say, engage with the people that I need to engage with. And it was the real lesson it taught me was to control my input. My therapist was just like, this is an opportunity for you to exercise what you're letting in to your space and into your mind. And so I went through and Marie Kondo'd the shit out of my feed, where I'm just like, if this person I'm following does not spark joy, goodbye, 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 goodbye. And so I'm not entirely aware of who's consuming what I put out there, but I know what I'm letting in. So that has been really helpful for me to participate with that particular platform.
did you do that on Instagram, like on, across all social media?
All across also. And I'm not on Facebook. I quit Facebook maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm only on Instagram and Twitter. And Instagram really made it easy because of that mute button, where I'm just like, I went on a mute spree where I'm just like, and like really close friends of mine who I was just like, it's not helpful for me to be like, follow you, hang out with you, have a drink with you, cocktails, yes, but to watch your day and your weeks unfold in a comparative way, especially when I suffer from imposter syndrome, makes me truly unhappy.
Yeah.
Love you. I cheer for you. Gotta mute you. And when I when I understood that, because again, wanting everyone to like me, I'm like, if they ever found out I muted them, I would say what I just said now. And if they were my real friends, they would understand.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
It makes total sense, because I'm sure they mute me back. Yes. You know what I mean? Where I'm just like, if you got it, you have to do what you have to do and control your input.
Control your input is a good motto.
Oof. It was a game changer. When my therapist said that, I was like, I can do that? She's like,
Yeah. Because we often think about social media in terms of what we're putting out.
Right.
As opposed to what's coming at us.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, part of the reason it's such an exhaustive experience being online that way.
Very much.
What was your astrologer experience like?
It's so wild. I'm not the type of person that was like checking horoscopes regularly or whatever, but in a very Shonda year of yes, like follow the woo, I was on set with a friend who's just like, if you're following the woo, you gotta go see an astrologer. And I was like, I've never done that before. I'm such a skeptic. I don't, but I'll go. Let's do it. And it was like a birth chart reading. So it wasn't like a, like, crystal ball thing, because I walked in and expected Whoopi from Ghost legit. I was just like, I wanted that. And I came in and it's just like this very sweet woman in the valley in her like converted garage office.
Is it Heidi?
Yes.
You went to Heidi?
We've had Heidi on the podcast.
Are you serious?
We've both gone to Heidi.
Oh my God.
I am like a Heidi Rose Robbins mega fan.
What? Oh my gosh, if you do sound effects on the podcast, it'd be like,
yeah.
Oh,
we were both like, converted garage.
I know. I was like,
birth chart.
Sounds
ladies.
You know what? I bet the same few people send everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah. And
that
then there's
is
a whole
so
network of people marching over.
Everyone
Heidi
needs to be talking more, because it was very just like sliding a card across. See this woman. It was crazy. I found out I'm going to get it wrong already off the bat. I'm Aquarius moon and Sagittarius rising.
Ooh.
And I didn't know what any of those things mean. Probably couldn't tell you right now. But what I will say, there were two dates that she gave me that made me like a little like, oh, she a witch. She a straight witch. I was just like listening about like, you know, sun, moon, planets. I was like, oh, this is all good. And she's saying all positive stuff. And then she was talking about a date that was kicking off sort of like a 10-year cycle professionally of like wild success and like very whatever. And she just like pulls up her chart. She's just like, probably on or around November 29th. November 29th is the day the day I closed my HBO deal. And I was just like, what? Like, I went back and like, she sends those recordings. And yeah. I listened to it when I got home and I was able to have my calendar out just to be me being a full skeptic. I'm like, when was there these dates at all line up? I was like, what? What?
Wow.
And then another, I can't even remember the other one, but it was just like, I was like, oh, she a witch. But it was very fun. I was just like, oh, it's very interesting to see sort of like a cosmic plan and sort of just like a really real justification for like my severe neuroses. Yeah.
It's very validating.
Very validating. Totally. I'm just like, oh, I'm not crazy.
No, it's like, oh, your fourth house is in Pluto. Yeah. That's why. This way. Okay.
Okay.
Uranus is in retrograde.
That's right. That's right. I'm fine. That's that rising Sagittarius that's acting up.
Yeah, it's not you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, that's so funny. She is a true delight.
She's a true delight.
She really is.
Yeah.
Did she like rock your worlds also?
Yeah. Oh, I've like gone on her retreat.
Stop.
Oh, Kate is like a super fan.
Yeah.
I have a chapter in my book about going on a retreat with Heidi. It's just been very helpful. And I do enjoy a woo situation, but it also is kind of very like straightforward and just like, well, this is kind of what's going on. It's not predicting anything.
No.
It's not, because I've also seen psychics if we're really,
really
going deep. Oh, yeah. I had a psychic talk to my dead family. Who knows?
Send them to me. I will. Again, this is the year I will try literally everything. I'm like full open. I'm a lotus all the way.
Is there anything else that you've tried since you are kind of embracing all these, you know, spiritual new age elements?
I've like consistently meditated every day. And then I saw Heidi and I definitely am like, oh, the other, like, this is not in the brand of woo, but I just like bought all of the books. You know what I mean? So like I'm going through a whole like self-help, like reading shit that I read already again with these fresh eyes and this open heart. But yeah, I need to add a psychic to the mix.
You're in the right place. I feel like LA is
this
kind of
city,
the mecca for all of this.
Well, Jess St. Clair is the one who told me about Heidi.
Yes.
And then I was joking with her. I was just like, next thing you know, I'll be buying crystals. And she leaned it. She was like, I know a crystal. I know. If you're ready, when you get to that crystal phase, I know a guy. And I was just like, LA, man.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, is there anything else that you're curious about in the woo world?
In the woo world. Well, transcendental meditation, I think that could be. Because I have found meditating so deeply helpful in such a short amount of time, mm-hmm. I would be interested in that. I think I would also love to do things in the yoga realm. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like really, I used to be into that in a very superficial way, but I would love to like really explore that as a practice.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Yeah.
Oh, I am here for it.
Yeah, me too. Before we wrap up, can you tell us a little bit about your HBO deal?
Yeah. more things from you.
Yeah, we need more things.
I there's really nothing to report. I'm excited about it. So I had sold a show to them that hopefully will see the light of day, which will be my show in the same sort of like, not thematically at all, but strictly structural comparisons only to like a Girls or Insecure, and that'll be written, starring, and EP'd by me. So that right now we're like in the late stages of development on. So hopefully we'll be shooting the pilot soon, and that will maybe see the light of day. And then the overall deal is just putting on the producer hat, which has been really fun, and so. There's some books that I really love that I want to turn into shows. And there's, I'm very much an Anglophile. So there's like some BBC shit that I'm trying to get that we can do, a diverse, inclusive feminist version of.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
So those are cooking in my brain, but HBO's been really lovely. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Make all the things starring you. Your Netflix character special is like one of the funniest things I have ever watched.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
It's so freaking funny. I mean, obviously, we all know you're fucking hilarious because Kelly is one of the greatest characters on television.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
No, truly, I texted Dory today. Iconic. I was like, and I ended up, FYI, watching the Insecure finale and not the Coachella episode to make me feel better. I watched the season 3 finale again. But the Coachella episode, my best friend was visiting. She's like, can we just rewatch the Coachella episode of Insecure because it's so funny? We just have to watch it again.
It's like, so okay. Great.
But it is, but you need to, you, we need you making us laugh.
Yeah.
Cause it is such it is such a healing experience, especially with so much, you know, everything that is existing in our world, which is always there. But right now it just feels particularly exhausting.
I mean, every time I drive by Swingers on my way to drop my dog off at daycare,
you're like, Kelly got fingered there.
Kelly had a good time.
She had a good time. That makes my heart so happy.
Is there any piece of her as a character that is similar to you as a person? Is she completely what did she grow out of?
She grew, I mean, she's my life's work, I think. I think we're so in the Venn diagram of us, there we're so very different, and she gives zero fucks about what people think. She's fully and completely authentic and in a way that's not abusive, but just self-possessed. And I've basically found her through in the script writing process. There's improv in the writer's room. And we basically together sort of like worked on figuring out who she was as a person. And I would read her at table reads before I was even – I mean, I started on the show as a writer. Yeah. I wasn't even on the show. And I just loved playing her because it was permission to say and do all those things, and I was able to tap into that part of myself that I really rarely let out in that specific way, which was what improv was for me forever at UCB, where you just get to go on stage and, like, take away that inner critic and just be the most speaking of meditation, like improv is the most meditative practice. I think that
I totally get that.
And because it's not in my life as much as it used to be, I think that's why I found it again. But anyway, I think that like my life's work is trying to be as free as she. There's some like direct overlaps, but in the important ways, I'm trying to get there.
In case anyone is not following you on Instagram or Twitter,
yeah,
can you tell us your handle where we can find you?
Yes. On Instagram, I'm NF Rothwell.
Okay.
And it's because someone else took Natasha Rothwell. there are more than one of us, guys. And then on Twitter, I got it. So it's Natasha Rothwell.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natasha.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kate.
Oh, yeah, Story.
How's it going with ye old intenties?
You know what? It's going pretty well.
Oh, good.
I did some research on some volunteer opportunities that I can do with kids.
Uh-huh.
We also just last week kind of dropped off some donations at our local food bank, at our local animal shelter, which was really cool to do together. But there is an organization here in Los Angeles called Big Sunday, and they have they have a ton of volunteer opportunities year round, but they do some kind of larger one-offs for families.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to definitely be signing up for one later this year and see how it goes with my kids.
I love that.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, my intention was to be chill about travel.
Seems like you were.
I was, except when they were predicting a snowstorm for the night I was supposed to come back.
Oh, boy.
Which turned out to be kind of a dud snowstorm. But when I first heard about it, they were predicting like up to 10 inches of snow. Ugh. And even though it was scheduled to start like after I was leaving, like an hour after I left, I was like, I must change my flight. Like, I just thought I cannot be stranded in New York. So I wasn't super chill about that, but I think it was good because I switched my flight.
And that's a reasonable thing to not be chill about.
Totally.
It's not like you weren't chill about the drink offerings on your plane.
Indeed. But otherwise, yeah, I was pretty chill.
And what are you gearing up to do this week?
I'm gearing up to hydrate.
You are gearing up to drink. How many ounces of water are we aiming for? 80?
You know, I was not given a number.
Okay.
I was just told hydrate.
Fair. What does that mean to you, Dory Shafrir?
You know what I think it means? I think it means drinking even when I'm not thirsty.
Uh-huh. Like just having that bottle at your mouth
like
all the time?
Like just drinking all the time. And also drinking at night. like in bed, every time I wake up, like if I have to pee or something, like making sure I just like chug some water, which is so annoying because I'm like, I'm just setting myself up to pee again.
I know. But, you can't win.
But I had been getting kind of dehydrated at night. Like I could feel it. And so I think that'll be good. Like that has been good to just kind of like drink throughout the night.
Nice work.
Thank you. So yeah.
Well, Dory, this week I am going to lean into being sick. That's my intention.
Good.
Not going to fight it. I'm not going to try to push myself to do things. I'm just going to be in my sweatpants.
Good.
Rest, hydrate also, and just like take care of myself. Just slow down. Sometimes when I get sick, I tend to push, you know?
Yes. Well, especially when you're a person that like, you know, has a lot going on.
Tend to be a little type A sometimes.
Yeah. It's hard to switch that off.
It is. So, yeah. So that's what it is. Hopefully this time next week, my next intention, I will have honored it and I will be healed.
I look forward to that.
Well, Dory, this brings us to the end of the road here. But before we go, let us remind you, if you ever want to call us and leave us a voicemail, our number is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast or join one of the many spinoffs.
And all the products, recipes, things mentioned on this show are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
And just a reminder that if you like the show, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. I mean, we won't turn down 5 stars. Just putting that out there.
We definitely won't.
Yeah. And tell a friend or mention us on the social media outlet of your choice.
Please never forget that Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Lane Hammer is our assistant.
Bye, everyone.